Beloved saints, our text this morning, and in connection with our brother's confession of faith, is addressed to the second person plural, that is you as a group. It extends, therefore, to absolutely all true Christians, to this congregation in Jesus Christ, including our brother, who just made confession of faith in this church. Let me read our text, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're going to approach this word of God, beloved, from the perspective of the word in our text, called, which occurs in the middle of these two verses. The word called here refers to what is known in the church as the effectual call. It's powerful. It does what it is intended. The effectual call, or the efficacious call. We want to answer together these questions and many others. What is this call? How does God in heaven call us on earth? What does he call us from? And what does he call us to? Consider then with me. Called into God's marvelous light. Called into God's marvelous light. The rich meaning of the call, the divine means of the call, and the blessed direction of the call. Called into God's marvelous light. Its rich meaning, its divine means, and its blessed direction. Let us begin then with three words, adjectives, which describe God's call of his people, us, in Jesus Christ. The first word that we're going to nail down, and that's a good word to nail down, because Ecclesiastes 12 says that in the teaching God fastens nails. The first word is gracious. And we know that God's call of us is gracious because our text says that we are called out of darkness. Moral, spiritual darkness. The darkness of ignorance. To speak more intellectually, we don't know God, naturally. And the darkness, ethically, of sin and total depravity. In 1 John 2, we are instructed, and we all know it too well, that we lived and walked in darkness. And living and walking in darkness, we didn't know where we were going, which ultimately was hell. And we didn't even know where we were going because the darkness blinded our eyes. That's how thick the darkness was. It blinded us. In John 3, that same apostle writes that we love darkness natively and hate the light. That is some darkness. And therefore, as those who were in the darkness, and Ephesians 5 even says, we were darkness. We were unable to come to God's light in Jesus. And unwilling. We didn't even want it. And therefore, it had to be, and it was, by a gracious call of God, delivering us from our blindness and our misery in our darkness, so that we didn't do a single thing to deserve it. A gracious call. That's what every Christian knows. God's saving call of us is not only gracious, that's the first word. The second word is particular. That is, God called us and not other people. He left them and didn't speak a powerful word to deliver them from their sins. God does not call everybody out of darkness, because the effectual call of which we are speaking now is governed by and is completely according to God's eternal election. An effectual call, God's effectual call, according to God's eternal election. Let me look at two clauses of our text. Peter says, ye are a chosen generation. The word chosen is elect. You are an elect generation. And then he says, God called you, you elect generation, out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're called and chosen, and God called you. That's Peter's teaching. In verse 8, he concludes that some stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were reprobated. But you, there's the context and the contrast, but you are an elect generation, and God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul makes it even clearer, because more concise. He says that whom God did predestinate, another word for elect, whom God did predestinate, them, and them only, he also called with the effectual call. Romans 8 verse 30. And Jesus teaches the exact same thing in John 10 as Paul in Romans 8 and Peter in 1 Peter 2 when he says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, the elect, hear my voice, the call. Those who aren't his sheep don't hear his voice, the effectual saving call. But my sheep, the elect, hear my call. And this includes Tabor and each and every person who believes in Jesus Christ. A gracious call, a particular call. And therefore, this is our third word, gracious, particular, and now irresistible. An irresistible call. Peter is saying here, you were in the darkness, and then God came and he called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. This idea of darkness and light, you were in the darkness. Think now of a believer in a place that is dark, and then God calls you into light, marvelous light, a place where there's light. Paul uses the darkness and light imagery only here in 2 Corinthians 4. It's not a person who moves from a dark place with the darkness outside him and then comes into a light place with light shining all around him, as in this auditorium. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that the darkness was actually in us. Not just that we were in the darkness, but the darkness was in us and in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, in Genesis 1 verse 3, hath shined in our hearts, which were completely dark, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the irresistible call of the gospel is, as Peter puts it, his voice calling us out of a dark place into a place of light. Or, Paul varies the image a little, it's calling us with darkness in our hearts and putting light into our hearts. So that by the gracious, particular, irresistible call of God, we come to the light, and God puts his light inside us. Let there be light. That's the irresistible, particular, gracious call of the gospel. This is what we mean by the effectual call, which is one prominent instance of irresistible grace. And this is our confession in this church, our personal confession, whereby each and every Christian says, God called me out of my darkness and into his marvelous light. And the Christian says that with worship in his heart and gratitude. And this is, especially this morning, Tibor's confession. Out of darkness, into light. Darkness in me, and now, that's the way it was, light now in me. And this biblical teaching of God's gracious, particular, and irresistible call of his elect people in Jesus Christ, this flows from the very nature of God himself. Because of the way God is, because of who he is, he speaks and calls in a certain way. It's a particular call, that is, of the elect and not the reprobate, of the sheep and not the goats, because God is absolutely sovereign. And the absolutely sovereign God issues a particular call of some and not others. It's a gracious call because God can't tolerate, as the basis of our acceptance with him, our works in any shape or form, because God is gracious. It's an irresistible call because God is omnipotent and all-powerful. To sum it up, the particular, gracious, irresistible call of the elect flows from the sovereign, gracious, omnipotent God. Being who he is, God could not speak and never could possibly call any other way than the way he actually does. And this too is our confession and Tibor's confession as those who are called by God and called by him for us in turn to confess him and his truth. This is what we mean by the call. And now we move to our second point. How then does God issue his effectual call to his elect people? How does he do it? The showy, the fanfare, trumpet-blowing way that God could have used, perhaps at least hypothetically, is angels. God could send down to every one of his elect, if he had willed, the angel Gabriel or Michael or any of the others, whose names were not given and so we don't know, to come to each person and tap them on the shoulder and say, you're in. You're included. He didn't do that. He uses a much less showy and even apparently foolish and weak way of calling his sheep. God does not either use the way of mystical voices in your head, so that one day a person has a dream, and in this dream light fluttered down from heaven, his spirit, as it were, rose up to meet God in the throne room, and God gave him a little badge and said, you're included, you're included. God didn't do that either. That, of course, is the way of some sort of charismatic experience. The way, the divine means that God appointed and uses to call each of his sheep by name is very simply and undramatically, we could say, and seemingly prosaic. He just uses his word. That's it. Just the word. And the flesh that's in us is tempted to be disappointed. like Naaman.
I thought the prophet was going to come out and perform all sorts of miracles on me, and he just told me to go and bathe in the river.
God uses his word to call us. 1 Peter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 8 talks about the word. Some stumble at that word. They're disobedient. To this they were appointed. But the word comes and it hardens them. God uses his word. And the word, if you think about it, has to be the way in which God calls us. That's the way we ordinarily call other people. And when God calls us, it's not an indistinct gulder, the sort that your father might have used when you were at the very end of the garden or halfway down the park. Something like, "Hoy!" And you recognize that's your father's voice. He doesn't need to mention a name. God doesn't gulder at us like that, and he doesn't grunt the way some children answer their parents back. God's call, remember now, God is in the second person, the word. God's call is a verbal message. His word, viewing it singly, consisting of many individual words. And this is what the Bible itself teaches, because it refers throughout to God speaking to his people. And God said. God speaks to us. God talks with us. It refers to God delivering his word to us, and speaks of God in Jesus Christ as uttering his voice. We're back in John 10, a great chapter on the effectual call of grace. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God's effectual call comes from his word, the Bible, consisting of many individual words. It's God's word which is read by us, and it's especially in the Christian church, God's word which is preached, that is, explained, opened up and applied rightly, not in the false church, or not lies derived supposedly from the scriptures, but things that aren't there. God speaks to us and God calls us commandingly, irresistibly, and graciously by the word. That's the means. Which means, to go further, God's effectual call, though it comes through the word, it is not the word of God alone. It's not what we call the external call. If you think of it in terms of the preaching, there's a minister up at the front. He reads the Bible. He expounds it. And there may be unbelievers there who hear that word. And if they're even awake, they may say, "You know, I don't really believe that. That doesn't really do anything for me." That's not what we're referring to in our text by the call of God, the word of God alone. It's certainly not the word of God alone, and without his gracious internal operations by the Holy Spirit. Because the word of God alone, without the Holy Spirit working inwardly, powerfully, transformatively, is always rejected. Always. That's all that the unbelieving person can ever do. Say no. He may say it more loudly at one time than another. It may be a gentle no, but it's always no. That's verse 8. Those who stumble at the word, that is, every time they hear the preaching, they fall over it. They stumble at the word, then the image is dropped and explained, being disobedient. And it's not as if God tried to save them by that word, but shucks, they went and disobeyed him yet again, contrary to what he really wanted. They were disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Appointed by God eternally, appointed by God eternally in his decree of approbation. God's effectual call, then, the meaning of the word call in our text, is the preaching of the word plus the gracious internal work of the Holy Spirit. It's the word out there that sounded in your ears, and it's the word inside you that you instinctively believe as true through the Spirit. It's this call, the inward work of the Spirit through the preaching of the word. The internal operation of the Holy Ghost through the external word. The two things. Both of them together, distinguished but united, so that there's an internal work of the Spirit which comes through the external proclamation of God's truth. To use the language of Jesus in John 6, the Holy Spirit comes, he takes the word, applying it personally, inwardly, and savingly. Jesus calls this the divine drawing of us. Not drawing now with colored pencils, but drawing as to powerfully allure and bring us to himself. Jesus said, "No man can come to me." And in John 6 and elsewhere, especially in John's gospel, come means believe, to believe so as to approach God. No man can come to me except, man can't do it, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Then he comes to me. God draws us, and then we come to Jesus in faith. And I will raise him up at the last day. The divine drawing of us. God draws us so that we come to him by faith alone. And in the next verse, Jesus explains the call of the gospel not as a divine drawing of us, but as of a divine teaching of us. Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets." And then he quotes Isaiah 54. And by this he means it's not just Isaiah 44 saying it, it is written in the prophets. Really, this is the message of all the prophets. The four major prophets, the 12 minor prophets, and in fact you could say since the Old Testament is the law, the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, all of them, and in fact Moses was a prophet, all of the Old Testament. It is written in the prophets. This is the message of the Old Testament. They, referring to the elect, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And this teaching isn't merely the external teaching that an unbeliever who's in church may hear. This is the inward teaching of the Father, so that all of God's people assuredly hear inwardly and learn inwardly, so that every last one of them come in faith to Jesus. They shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me in a true faith. The effectual call. It's an inward teaching or a drawing of us, an infallible drawing of us to Jesus Christ. And how is this effectual call experienced by us? Experienced by us in the consciousness of God's word as truth. Absolute truth. God's own truth from heaven. My sheep hear my voice and they know it to be my voice. And what is it that God says to us externally and also inwardly? He says, "Know me. Know me. Know me in Jesus Christ." And in essence, that's the only thing that God could say to us. Know me. I'm your God. Know me. We could expand on this to say that God calls us by his word and spirit
And he says to us, know your sins and miseries. Know them. And we do. We feel it. It's an internal call, and we feel it and experience it inwardly. I know my sins and miseries. Because God's people are willing in the day of his power, and they get it. They're taught. They're drawn. God says to us, know Jesus Christ and his cross as the only way of your deliverance. And the Christian says, I know that. I embrace him by faith, and I receive his salvation. That's the effectual call of God, operative in us. And God says to us, know how to express your gratitude. And the Christian says, I do. I am grateful. I do know. I do express it. Not perfectly, though. But I do it. Because he changed me. And you understand, of course, that when I'm saying this, I'm just spelling out what our catechism calls the triple knowledge. God calls us to know him so that we know our sins and miseries. And the Christian says, I do. I do know Jesus. I don't want to know any other Jesus. And I know that I must submit to him and serve him alone. This call in the heart and life of every true Christian is experienced by us as something authoritative. We bow to it. We say, that's God talking to me. I'm going to do what I'm told. We experience it as something powerful. We don't just say, well, I want to do it, but I can't. Although we do feel the can't because of the flesh. We experience it as I want to do it, and I have been enabled to do it. A living, authoritative, powerful call. So the Christian says, when he's brought to faith the first time, and every other time he repents and believes and walks in obedience, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. God changed me so that I did it. All I brought to the table was my own sin and stubbornness. But he called me. And I, as one of his sheep, knew him and followed. The call of God, to put it otherwise, results in the Christian feeling, knowing, experiencing the conviction of his sins. I, when I hear the call of God to me, know that I'm guilty in myself. And I feel within me the beginnings of repentance. I've done evil. I hate it. I feel ashamed. That's God calling you. The call of God is experienced by us when we trust. When we say, and this is what the Christian always says in the quiet of his own heart, and when God is speaking to him, I must be still and know that God is God. There's the Son of God who became flesh for me and for my salvation. My only hope is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all I've got in life. And I trust in him. I lean on him. And I believe that he will carry me through and he'll bring me to the Father. And in the cross of Jesus Christ, when we're called, we know we're forgiven and that God pardons us. And this call is essentially the same, whether it's the call that we hear the first time we were initially delivered from darkness into God's marvelous light, and it's essentially the same call that we hear all the time as Christians, each day. Psalm 95 comes to us, today, if ye will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. The Christian hears that word and says, God is softening me. I do hear his voice. And I come to him. And Hebrews 3 and 4 applies this to us. In our pilgrimage through the wilderness of this word, we hear the voice. We're on the right track. We have a shepherd who is leading us. And all the sheep hear that voice. And the calling, therefore, of the Christian, with respect to the call, the calling of the Christian with respect to the call, that works in English, and it works in English and it works in Greek. There's a Greek word, call. God effectually calls us. He gives us a calling, and those who are called by God then call upon the name of the Lord. We attend to the word preached and read, and we yield to it in faith and therefore with obedience.
this call. We've seen what it means, what it is. We've seen how God brings his call into our hearts and lives. And now I want to deal finally with the blessed direction of the call. And the word direction might need a little bit of explaining. What I mean here by the blessed direction of the call is that God calls us from what we may say bad things. God calls us from bad things to good spiritual things and states and conditions. That's the point of our text. Verse 9. God hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called from darkness to light. And then the next verse says, we were called from being not God's people to being God's people, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. And we are called from not having experienced God's mercy to having experienced and received his mercy, which had not obtained mercy, says verse 10, but now have obtained mercy. These are all movements, divine movements of us in the right direction for each and every true Christian and for Tabor. I have moved, I have been moved by the effectual call from one thing, all bad, to God's gracious salvation in Jesus Christ. Our text also, by implication, describes the direction of our effectual call in terms of our high office. We have been called effectually, and that effectual call is also a call to be a priest. Every child of God, young or old, male or female, is a priest or a priestess, consecrated to Jehovah and therefore essentially different from all of the ungodly. And then serving Jehovah as a priest, every Christian, by offering himself as a living sacrifice, because that's what a priest does, he brings sacrifices. We don't bring animals to God, we bring ourselves on the altar. And we don't just do it once, we do it all our lives. And then we offer to him the sacrifices of worship and gratitude. Called, the effectual call is a call to be a priest. Nor is the Christian called to be a priest individualistically. There were no individualistic priests in the Old Testament, whereby there was this priest who was doing God's will off on some mountain all by himself. That's not the way it worked. The priest in the true New Testament Christian church doesn't serve God apart from the other members or as he or she sees fit. The true Christian is called as a priest into a priesthood. So at the priesthood, offer their own individual sacrifices together and collectively so that everybody works together and has their own place and role and function and gifts, cooperated by the power of the Holy Spirit. The text says, we're chosen and elected and we're called as a priesthood. Not just a bunch of priests, a priesthood. Obviously, too, since the text says it, we are called to be kings. This also is included in our effectual call. So to be a Christian is to be a king or a queen. And to be a Christian, to be a king or a queen, is not in this life to rule over everything by yourself, so you're suddenly the boss. It is first of all, and working outwards, to rule over ourselves, our own tempers, our own lusts, putting them down, serving our divine King. And then in whatever limited spheres, we have other things put under us, and let's be honest, they're not that big for us. We rule over these things by the Spirit of God according to His Word. We don't aim at any massive world-transforming things. We just say we're humble people. There's me, there's my household, I've got some children, I serve in a church, I reach a limited sphere of people, but I do what I can. God hasn't called me to rule the universe. I'm a king. I rule over the little bit He's given me. And I do it according to the Word, without any grandiose ideas, in faithfulness and humility, because I'm being called into a royal or kingly priesthood. And now you understand, of course, this is part of the biblical teaching of the threefold office: prophets, priests, and kings. This passage talks about kings and priests, and we could even draw out the prophetic office in that we are to show forth the praises as prophets, to witness it, to speak of it, to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called to a high threefold office, and we are called, says our text, and this is the sort of thing picked up in the second question and answer of the form for public confession of faith, we're called to a new life, a new life. Verse 9 talks about a holy nation. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God. He's a holy caller. We have a holy calling, because we have been called to holiness. That is a life of sanctification, devotion to God by His grace. And we're holy in our office of prophet, priests, and king. We're dedicated to the One who effectually called us out of our darkness into His marvelous light by Jesus Christ through His Spirit. And that, in short, is the calling of all of us, and especially this morning, our brother. Called to high office, the text says that, called to a new and holy life, and called, lastly, to a blessed community. We're a chosen generation, a generation. There's a generation alive today, and we're the chosen or elect generation, as everybody on the planet today is part of the chosen generation. That part of this generation that serves God. This is the generation of them that seek Thee, as the psalmist says. A chosen generation and holy nation. And the nation now isn't Old Testament Israel, the Jews. It's the New Testament Israel, consisting of Jews and Gentiles. You're a chosen generation, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. And the word peculiar doesn't mean weirdo. You're a peculiar people, you're a bunch of weirdos, because peculiar has that meaning today. Now, people may think that of us, but we're actually not a bunch of weirdos, although the world may say that and may think that. Peculiar means special. And there's nothing special about us. We're special to the Lord and in His eyes, because He sees us in Jesus Christ. A peculiar people, a holy nation, a particular chosen generation. And in one word, all of this is saying, you're the church. The church is that generation. The church is that holy nation. The church is that peculiar people. And the word called and church are, in their Greek originals, the same thing essentially. Because the church refers to the called out ones. That's what the word church means in the Greek. Called out ones. And therefore, the very effectual call, which brings us out of darkness into God's marvelous light, and calls us as priests and calls us unto holiness, the very effectual call which delivers us, calls us out of the world and into the church. The effectual call and the church. Same word, same idea. You're not truly in the church if you're not effectually called. And if you're effectually called, you're in the church. The called out ones. That's what church means. Called into the church as this organism, the living, breathing body of Jesus Christ, and also the church institute, because the true elect people, God calls them not only out of the world and into the church, the body, but into the church as an institute, which is what God has done with us too. Called us into an institute church, and now this morning called Tabor, the effectual call to salvation, the effectual call into the church, and for us, this church. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10. I'm going to read it. And as I read it, you're going to understand more of it and feel more of its power. Ye are a chosen or elect generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past, not a people, but now are the people of God. In time past, not obtained mercy, didn't know anything about it, but now have obtained and received and enjoy mercy. And let us all, especially this morning, our brother, walk worthy of our heavenly calling. And let us call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before thee. We confess gladly that we have heard thy voice. We pray that we may heed it by thy grace, that we may listen to the voice of the shepherd and follow him wherever he goes. Forgive us afresh our sins. Elevate us in our high holy calling. Be with us and bless us this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.